finally say, excuse me. I say, do you play guitar? I wasn't going to say that to Blind Blake. Mm-mm. I said, excuse me, sir. I also play the guitar. He said, do you? I said, yes, sir. Now, this 81 years old, I'm talking to Blind Blake. My heart almost fell out. He said, what kind of music do you play on your guitar? Oh, I was so proud I could hardly speak. I said, I play them old kind of blues and country, you know, like the fellas used to play in Jacksonville way back in 1924 and 1925 and sometimes over on the West Coast in St. Pete. He said, you do? I said, yes, sir. I said, what kind of music do you play on your guitar? He said, I always liked them old blues the fellas used to play in Jacksonville in 1924 and sometimes on the West Coast of Florida in St. Pete. And I said to myself this morning when I got this guitar in the pawn shop, Ferdinand, you'll learn to play the guitar like the boys in Jacksonville used to back in 1924 and sometimes over. I said, you mean you don't play the guitar? He said, no, could you show me one of them old things? 81 years old. I looked around for witnesses. Is this a reversal of the process? Not a soul in sight. I invited him to the show. He couldn't make it. He had a date. I tried to teach him this song and he couldn't learn it. I went in to go to work, and during the intermission, I was up in the dressing room with Delbert McClinton, his band, eating hors d'oeuvres and drinking wine, you know. And lack of anything to tell them, I told them that little story. They all listened, nodded, and the bass player was laughing and slapping his side. I thought it was the funniest thing he ever heard. I looked at him, I said, well, what's so funny about this story? He said, well, think about it. He said, that probably was Blind Blake that you were talking to out there, and he's going to get more laughs telling that story than you ever will. So I don't know if I met Blind Blake or not. This one he did called Hey Hey, Your Daddy's Feeling Blue. Hey, hey, your daddy's feeling blue. Hey, hey, your daddy, you're feeling blue. Well, I'm lonesome all the time. Can't seem to get your mama off my mind. Hey, hey, your daddy's feeling blue. Night and day. Hey, hey, love you both night and day. I'm gonna love you both night and day. Your daddy needs your mama, drive his blues away. I said, hey, hey, your daddy's feeling blue. Hey, hey, I love you till you die. Hey, hey, love you until you die, till you die. I'm gonna love you until you die. Your daddy can't seem to find a reason why. Hey, hey, your daddy's feeling blue. hey, hey, your daddy's feeling blue. Hey, hey, your daddy is a feeling blue. Well, I'm lonesome all the time. I can't seem to get you off of my mind. Hey, hey, your daddy's feeling blue. Social dance. I didn't have me no seat in my pants. She gave me $4 and she brought me in. I took the money and I bought me some gin. The gin done done it. Whoa, dog, honey. The gin made a fool out of me. I said the gin made a fool out of me. Now I tore my hair and I walked the streets. I wanted to whoop everybody that I didn't meet. Along come Billy, said my good friend. Well, I whooped him bad and chill as a sin. I said, the gin done it, won't doggone it. Well, it made a fool out of me. I said, the gin made a... I went to the church to do the holy roll. I grabbed me a sister, gonna convert a soul. 2 minutes later, when the preacher walked in, she stopped rolling with me. She started rolling with me. Gin done it, whoa, doggone it. Well, the gin made a fool out of me. You know the gin made a fool out of me. You know I went to a crap game, and to my disgrace, run everybody out of that place. You know that the dice, they was loaded and it made me sore. Left them hustlers lying dead on the floor. I said the gin done it, whoa, doggone it. The gin made a fool out of me. Made a fool out of me. Went downtown at 4:30 and I stole 2 hot dogs from the butcher man's store. They locked me up. Judge, he said, it takes 6 months just to clear up your head. I said, the gin done it, whoa, doggone it. The gin made a fool, have mercy, but your honor. Gin made a fool out of, gin made a fool out of, made a fool out of me. The gin done it, thank you very much. I'd like to do for you now the first song I've learned how to play on the guitar. It's a beautiful little song. I learned it from a record the first time, and then I met this great guitar player named Reverend Gary Davis, and apparently it was his song. Reverend Gary Davis, of course, mostly sang spirituals. That's what Reverend sing. But Reverend Davis wasn't always a preacher. Before 1935, he was a blues singer. From Greenville, South Carolina. And I asked him about this song, and he said, that little song there, he said, that was the first song I learned how to play on a guitar. I said, how like that? I said, well, where'd you hear that song? Did you make it up? He said, well, he worked it up a little different than he first heard it. He told me he was a little blind baby playing in the mud in Greenville, South Carolina, in front of his house, his mother hanging up wash, and he heard this music coming down the street. He thought it was a parade. And he asked his mama, Mama, what's that coming down the street? And she said, well, little Reverend Davis, that's a guitar player coming down the street. The first time he heard a guitar, and it just hit him. It tickled his ear, and he asked his mama, would she get him a guitar? And she did, thank goodness. Reverend Davis became a great guitar player. And he said he learned to play that song, and he played up and down the street till they drove him out of town. Years later, I got to meet my friend Pink Anderson in Spartanburg, South Carolina, which is 30 miles away from Greenville, South Carolina. I asked him if he knew Reverend Gary Davis. He said he heard of a man named Blind Gary when he was growing up. a great guitar player, but he never met the man. I said, isn't that something? I said, Pink didn't play guitar anymore either when I met him because of his arthritis. And I sat in the room playing songs for him, and I played him this little song, Candyman it's called. Pink Anderson listens to that one. After a while, I put the guitar down. He picked it up, and he started to play it too. Same thing. And I asked him about it. I said, where's that song come from, Pink? He said, oh, that's a long time ago, he said. I was a little boy here in Spartanburg playing in the mud. A guitar player coming all the way from Greenville playing Candyman up and down the street. Everybody's following him around like he was giving away money. He said, I heard that song and I said to myself, I'm going to play the guitar. I said, you mean that's a... He said, yeah. He said, my mama was frying chicken. I said, Mama, why don't you give me one of them guitars? And she did. Whenever I'm down there between Greenville and Spartanburg, I stop on that road that goes between them. It's interstate now. And I get out and I play this song. It feels real good. Candyman, salty dog. Candyman, salty dog. Candyman, salty dog. I said, if you won't be my candy man, I won't be your salty dog. Run and get the bucket, get the baby some beer. Run and get the bucket, get the baby some beer. Run and get the bucket, get the baby some beer. Jazz out of here. Run and get the bucket, get the baby some beer. Run and get the bucket, get the baby some beer. Said I'd do anything in this God Almighty world just to keep that candy man home. Pretty little song. Well, I was on tour in England, all things. Still trying to figure out who that guitar player was that went walking around the Carolinas getting everybody excited about it. I was in this grocery store and they had a pile of used cheap records, you know. They had one by a British folk singer named Donovan. And I said on that record, he did Candyman. And underneath his name and the name of the song said that he wrote it in 1964. Who knows? Gingerbread man, Santa Claus. Gingerbread man, Santa Claus. Gingerbread man, Santa Claus. I said the gingerbread man got a raisin for a nose. I'm gonna eat him just as quick as I can. Things happen with old songs. What happens to them? Reverend Davis passed on in 72. Thank goodness before he passed away, he was quite semi-famous. He gave up singing on the streets, and Peter, Paul, and Mary recorded one of his beautiful spirituals, and he bought a little house in Long Island where his wife still lives, the house that Peter, Paul, and Mary built. Many of the groups have done Reverend Davis' songs, the Grateful Dead, the Hot Tuna. He wouldn't understand it either, but the checks come rolling in. Most recently, see, Reverend Davis did a lot of spirituals, but a lot of the old blues were associated with his name, and he had a business manager and an agent towards the end, and he did very well. And after he passed on, the business manager in California still handles the estate and all that business, you know, and Sister Davis is well taken care of, thank goodness. Most recently, a young fellow named Jackson Brown recorded one of Reverend Davis's songs on an album. Every album that he does sells a million copies. Goes gold or platinum, whatever, you know. Don't worry about it. My last record went 10. We do have a few copies over there. So Jackson Brown put the song out, and the business manager in California flew east to New York City and took a cab out to Long Island to the house that Peter, Paul, and Mary built there. And Sister Davis comes to the door. She's a wonderful lady in her 80s. We still get together at least once a year, have a visit, and eat some good food and talk about the good times and the bad times. And the business manager explained to Sister Davis that this young fellow out in California recorded another one of Brother Davis' songs, sold a million copies, and you got to sign the forms, and the check is going to come pretty soon. Oh, she was just so proud and delighted. She says, "Isn't that nice, Mr. Green? Which one of Reverend Davis's nice little spirituals did this boy record?" Wrong. The manager tried to explain to her that it was one of the older tunes that they got copyrighted before Reverend Davis passed on, and she was very upset. She said, "Not one of them blues." She said, he said, "Yes, it was." She said, "Well, I don't know if I could take that money, because when the spirituals are recorded, that money is good money, but when the blues is recorded, that's really the devil's money, and I shouldn't take it." Now, when you're a business manager working on 20%, you must convince people to sign papers. After hours of negotiation, it was finally brought to be understood, and Sister Davis agreed that very often the Lord works in mysterious ways. She says, "Where do I sign that paper?" Finished paying for the house, I hope. That was a good check. It's a song that, it's a very sad song. Goes like this. It came out the first time and started to be sung around the Carolinas before 1920. Baby, go uptown. Police coming to knock me down. Cocaine is running around my brain. They say that cocaine's for horses, it is not for men. Keep telling it's gonna kill me, but they won't say when. Cocaine running around my brain. Well, I said, "Come here, baby. Come here quick. This old cocaine's about to make me sick. Cocaine around my brain." Cocaine habit's mighty bad. Worst old habit that I ever had. Cocaine's running around my brain. Take Mary and I'll take Sue. Ain't no difference twixt the two. Cocaine's running around my brain. Yonder comes my baby dressed in red. Woman's got a shotgun, gonna shoot me dead. Cocaine's running around my brain. Whiskey, fool for my gin. Well, I'm a cocaine, it's a doggone sin. Cocaine running around my brain. Yes, I said, "Come here, baby. come here quick. This old cocaine is about to make me sick. Cocaine is running around my brain. Thank you. Play for you now my first hit. Found myself in New York City, Greenwich Village, trying to be a folk singer. It's a big thing back in the 60s. You know, they used to have what they called Hootenanny Night. Meant that you could go play three songs and not get paid. But you might get discovered. Well, we were lined up there, all of us. I think Gamble was there, too. I don't remember. Gamble, were you there? He must have been. Well, he might have been playing the Trade Winds in St. Augustine. I don't know. We used to line up and get us a 15-minute slot there to do three songs. I used to play them Hootenannies with a lot of people that Janis Ian, Richie Havens, Arlo Guthrie, they all used to be lined up, plus a few that didn't make it. One night I came off the stage after doing an exceptionally good job on my three songs, and a fellow came up to me, introduced himself as the president and major shareholder of Blue Goose Records. I said, where do I sign? He said, we've got a record in the can. That's recording industry talk for having it ready to make records with almost. He said, we need one more song. It's an anthology of different people playing this old-time music, and we've decided that you are going to be the last act on this record. Oh, almost passed out from the excitement. He said, you come down to the studio next Tuesday afternoon, get your best song worked out, record it. The album will be out in 3 months, and you get a $50 bill. Ooh, Lord have mercy. I went home and spent the whole week trying to figure out which of my three songs was the best. Chose this song for a number of different reasons. Song originally was a big hit for Blind Blake, right from Jacksonville. When he was in Chicago, he sold many, 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 many records. Song became a standard almost. Jimmy Rogers, when he made one of the first hillbilly records, took that same song, rearranged it in a country hillbilly style, and put that same record out and sold a million copies. Same song. 1927, 1930. 1946, country music was taking a turn of a different way. Western swing was a big thing. Webb Pierce took that same song again in 1946, put it out, sold a million copies. 27, 30, 46. Come the 50s in Memphis, Tennessee, music was changing again. The Sun Recording Company was putting out a new thing they call rockabilly. Johnny Cash took this same song, put it on one of his early Sun recordings with the new rockabilly beat, sold a million copies. 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. 1967, I figured this is the song I'm going to put out. We got a few copies over there by the tent there. I had an old friend named Campbell. Campbell used to steal and gamble. Made his living cheating all the while. Well, he had a little game and he called it yoker, blackjack, dice, and sometimes poker. Thought he was the smartest dude in town. I found out last Monday they locked up Campbell on Sunday. Got him in the jailhouse way downtown. You know they got Campbell locked in the jail, and nobody around here's gonna go his bail. And the judge, he said, he wouldn't accept no fine. He's in that jail. He's in the jailhouse now. Well, I told Campbell once or twice, Campbell, you better stop that playing cards and shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now. Well, I remember last election, all the folks, they was in action, trying to get themselves a president. Well, along come my brother by the name of Bill Austin. They walked from Polk City, Florida, north to Boston, trying to find himself an honest sentiment. Well, my brother Billy was a voter. Billy was a big promoter. always looking for some good advice. You know that they told Bill to go to the poll to vote right across that very top row. Instead of voting once, the fool voted twice. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. I told Billy back at home to leave the politicians' business alone. He's in the jailhouse now. You know that I went to town last Friday. I met a little gal called Lydie. Thought she was the prettiest gal in town. You know that she began to spend my money. I began to call her honey. Went into a swell little cafe, we sat down. Folks, I was really in it, spending every minute, buying port wine, whiskey, and a homebrew by the quart. But when I went to pay that man, I did find the little lady's hand in my pocket where my money was. She's in that graveyard now. She's in a graveyard now. I told that judge right to his face that the little lady's hand was out of place. Graveyard. She's pushing up daisies and I'm in the jailhouse now. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Roy. That was really, really nice.
I tried to meet some old men that played guitar in the old styles that were nice. And those songs mean a whole lot to me. And a lot of songs I learned from records, too. And well, sometimes they mean a lot to you. Sometimes they're just, you want to know about them more and feel more comfortable with them. This song here, I heard this song on a record. I got a tape cassette from a record collector, collected old 78 RPM blues records and country music. And I got 10 songs by a man named Little Hat Jones from Austin, Texas, recorded in 1929. 6 in January and 4 in June, he drifted off into obscurity. I want to know more about this man. I love those 10 songs so much. When I was in Texas, I asked around. Nobody ever heard of him. Never met any blues singers that heard of him. But I wanted to know about him. When I couldn't find anybody that knew him in Texas, anybody ever heard of him anywhere, I had to approach it from a different angle. So intellect that I am, I took the intellectual approach, transcribed the lyrics from my cassette recorder onto my notebook pad, and studied the poetic content of the 10 said songs. I learned that Little Hat Jones was not actually a great poet, though there were good songs. There were a few clues here and there. There was one song called Kentucky Blues, that was the title, and I figured, well, maybe someone in Kentucky knows him. So I went up there. I asked around and nobody knew him. I listened and looked at my words again and I saw a reference to Sakin, Kentucky. And I found it on the map and I went there. And it wasn't much of a town. I found an old man there had a barber shop. I asked him how long he'd been in Sakin, Kentucky. He said, since the beginning. I said, well, do you remember when the blues singers used to travel around with the guitars? He said, oh, yeah. He said, they used to play out here in front of my barber shop. I said, who did? And he said, Lemon Jefferson, Blind Boy Fuller. And he named a few right off. I said, this man might not. And I said, and Little Hat Jones. He said, no, he was never here. I proceeded to get out of the barbershop chair and play him the Kentucky Blues by Little Hat Jones. He listened attentively and said, "No, that man was never here." I said, "Why would he write this song?" He said, "Well, he might have wished you was here, God knows why." But I said, "Well, you couldn't be that positive about that he wasn't here. I mean, really. A lot of years went by." He said, "Well, look," he said, "if it happened here before 1930, I had the only barbershop in town here, and I had the only Coca-Cola machine in town here, and if it happened on my stoop. That never happened." He said, "Besides," he said, "study the poetic contents of that song. There were flaws in it." I said, "I already did that." Went back to my notebook again, and I found that it was a little mixed up. There was references to submarines in this song. And I'm myself Amex Navy, and I know, for documented fact, when I was sweeping up on an aircraft carrier for all those years, I used to read all these top secret confidential things. I know for documented fact, there are no and never were any submarine bases in the state of Kentucky. So Little Hat Jones was a confused young man, not a great poet. I wish I knew something about Little Hat Jones to tell you, because I like to talk about the blues singers who I knew, and I don't know anything about him. It's only a bold assumption on my part that he wore a little hat that would influence my career. I better do this song and let everybody go have dinner, because we're getting ready to start the main stage event for the night, and if this is anything as good as yesterday was, it's going to be pretty good. I will be performing there later on towards the end of the program. It'll give me time to sober up. It's called the Kentucky Blues. Before I learned how to play this guitar, I didn't know an index finger could have so much fun. We was here, we was having some fun. Laws jumped up and said nobody run. Said I'm long gone from Kentucky.